Okay. Morning.
Morning.
So guess what I'm going to teach on? Love, brother. Love, love, love. July. February 14th is in a couple of days. Right. All you lovebirds, remember? And I'm not just talking about the men and women that are married. I mean, we're all lovebirds. We all have the love of God in our heart, and we all can spread that around, right? It's interesting listening to the manifestations today, because every one of the manifestations said something about God's love and loving each other. And I thought it was really cool, because really those are the two main points I want to hit on today. It's an amazing thing when we begin to really understand the gift of Holy Spirit and the avenues of unlimitless love and compassion and mercies. It gives us the ability to give to one another. And not just each other in the household, but we're going to go to the Word and we're going to see some scriptures that we're very, very, very familiar with. But what I want to encourage you to do after today is to be able to take some of these scriptures and go to the context and read around it, so you get a deeper understanding of what God was trying to tell us. It's real easy to say, oh, just love each other. And it's easy to love somebody when things are cool. You know, when they haven't hurt your feelings or they haven't made you mad. Real easy to love in those circumstances. Or when everything is going right in your life and nothing else is going on except, you know, the blessings. And we all have those times when that's true, and we all have times when it's not always a blessing. We deal with junk because we live in this world. But God has given us the ability through His love and mercy to live above the standards of this world. And it's not always easy, but it's always your choice. It's always my choice, right? So we're going to go to some familiar scriptures this morning. We're going to just talk about this one. For God so loved the world. Because in the beginning, what does it say in Genesis? The opening of the Bible says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, Vicky? Nope. In the beginning, God. So the whole creation in the beginning was done by God, who is love. And we'll see that in the Word. And in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in Him should what? Not perish, but have what? Here's the second part that I love to read that sometimes doesn't get read with that verse. And it's verse 17. It says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. When you think about those two verses as a unit, God definitely displays what He wants and what He doesn't want through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. What He wants us to see and what He doesn't want us to see. What He wants us to see is that great unconditional love that He has. What He doesn't want us to see is condemning each other. Us condemning each other, others condemning each other. It doesn't matter. Those are not the things of God's heart. The thing of God's heart is for all men to be what?
Saved.
And come into a knowledge of what? The truth. And the truth is, God is love. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. And when we believe Romans 10, 9, and 10, what happens? We got the Spirit of God in Christ in us. It became available for us to love unconditionally, just like that. Wow, huh? Because before that time, you could love with a phileo type of love. You could love somebody, you know, with this warm feeling. And we have that love in our lives for our parents, our brothers and sisters growing up. Well, sometimes. And then sometimes we don't like our brothers, and sometimes we don't like our mom and dads. But we always get back to that point. But that type of love, the love we're talking about this morning, that's unconditional. There are no conditions to it. And it is our choice in every situation that we find ourselves in to choose to love someone with the love of God or not. That's really true. It is a choice. And God enables us. God gives us the strength. God gives us directions that we're going to see from the Word many, many more places than these scriptures. But you know what? It's always our choice to do it. It says in Matthew 22, go to verse 22:34. And we're just going to look at some examples of Jesus Christ and what He did, what God had recorded, some very important things He did. Other things didn't get recorded because what does it say? If they recorded all of them, there wouldn't be enough ink to write them all down. So you know what that really says to me? The things that are written down are extremely important to be aware of, to understand to the best of our ability, so that we can walk to the best of our ability. And nobody's perfect, and we're all growing, right? We all keep learning, we all keep growing. Maybe I'm just the only one, I don't know. But even after 47 years, I'm still like learning. I'm still like, oh, God enlighten our eyes of understanding in situations and with scriptures that, you know, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have understood Him if He'd have tried to enlighten my understanding because it wasn't where I was at. So He waits for me to get there. But in the process, He's always teaching. I'm always growing. That's the way it's supposed to be. And then that is supposed to be manifested from our lives towards each other's lives. It's a pretty cool setup when you think about it, because God set it up. Matthew 22:34, we're going to read through verse 40. But when the Sadducees heard that He, Jesus, had silenced the Pharisees heard that He, Jesus, silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Now they're still trying to trap Jesus. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Now I'm reading from a New King James Version, so if it's a little different, that's why. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Okay, now, what I want you to do is, that's really not hard to understand, but who is your neighbor? Have you thought about that? What does that mean? You to love your neighbor as yourself. So you love God first with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You love yourself, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. Well, in the biblical times, neighbors were usually your tribe, the people you lived with, the believers that were fellowshipping together. Now, that's not your only neighbor, but that is, back then, that was the closest neighbor. And many times it was family members, right? They lived in families. They lived a lot different than we live today. And so when it's talking about loving your neighbor, it's talking about loving the people that you are close to first and foremost, not just, okay? But you have to really kind of ask yourself, I asked myself this question, okay, am I as loving to the three people that I live with in my home? Am I as loving to the people that come to fellowship that I see on a regular basis? Am I as loving to them? Do I want to see them learn and grow in God's word as much as I do somebody on the street? Or maybe a relative that lives in Oklahoma? You know, the word is very specific in a couple of places that we are to be good, especially unto the household of faith. That doesn't mean just our fellowship here. That means anybody born again of God's Spirit. That is the household of faith. And we're to do good unto all men It says this in Galatians 6. We're to do good unto all men, especially unto the household of the faith. Now that word especially is a key word because it means it's a figure of speech, and it means the word that precedes it is where the emphasis is at. The emphasis isn't on, picking out special people and being good to them. It's doing good things for the household of faith. The emphasis is put on what you do being good things, not just being good to the household of faith. Because when you really read it, at first it looks like the emphasis is put on, okay, we're good to the people that are of faith. That's not what that means. It means we are to be especially good, do especially good things for the household of faith. But we're to do good unto all men. It's like if you look at Jesus Christ's walk, you guys, he loved everybody, didn't he? But if somebody didn't want to receive the word, what did he do? He kept moving. He kept moving. Because that person obviously wasn't where he needed to be at that point in time. But that doesn't mean God's not going to come back with somebody else 3 months later that's holding the word forth and that person's ready to hear it. He didn't let it upset him. He didn't let it get to him. He just continued to love the people that would receive his love, right? And it didn't matter whether they received it right at that moment or down the road, his words were received. He loved people unconditionally. And that's how we're to love one another. John 13. Go to John 13. Loving each other can be very challenging at times. But I think Jesus Christ probably went through the most challenging things that a human being could have, and he surpassed them all, and he lives within us. So we really don't have an excuse not to push ourselves to love, John 13:35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have what?
Love
one towards another. Now this is an exciting part of the word for me, and I really encourage you guys to go back to this chapter and read the whole chapter. This is a time when Jesus Christ is getting ready to be taken. They've had the Last Supper together, or the Passover meal together. This is the last few hours that he's going to be with them. And what does he do during those last few hours? He leaves them one of the most fantastic, one of the most simple instructions of how to love each other. He washes their feet. Now that's huge. That's huge in this culture. Most people don't want you to even touch their feet. But back then, only servants of the lowest degree washed somebody's feet. Yet the last few hours Jesus Christ spent with his disciples, he taught them about loving each other. That is the emphasis in that whole context. He didn't just say it, he did it. He did it. He set the example. He talked to them. He ministered to them. He washed their feet. He helped them accept things that their culture would never accept before he left. All in the context of loving each other. And that's what I'm trying, that's what I want to communicate today. We are such a privileged group of people to know God, to know his love for us. Experientially, we know it. To know the love of Christ and all that lives within us. And it doesn't matter in some ways. I don't want to demean things that people go through, because sometimes people go through things that are very hurtful. But they're not bigger. Those very hurtful things are not bigger than the love of God we can share towards one another. Those are like, compared to God's love. I don't know how else to explain that one, but did you get it? John 15. Something else that Jesus Christ said to them during this time. That whole section of John is just, I don't know, man, it melts my heart every time I read it. Because it just, it's like, okay, Vicki, you know what? You think you're loving people? Well, you just take it up a notch, girl, because you ain't even close to what he's doing. You know, and it encourages me in a really good way. And it's confronting to me in a really positive way. And isn't that what the word does? It teaches us, you know, it confronts us, it corrects us. Wow. And you know what? As I grew older, I realized how much I wanted that correction. Because I want to love God with all my heart, soul, and strength. I want to love Him as much as I am capable of loving Him. But if I don't know this book, I don't know Him. I don't know what His love looks like. I mean, we have the standard of the world, right? There's a love in the world, right? Right? Kelly, you good to me, man? I'm gonna take care of you, sister. But you hurt me? Man, I'm going to come after you with all I got. That's the world standard. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You give me, I'll give to you. Man, you hurt me, I'm after you. That's the world standard. We don't live there. We do not live there. And it's so easy sometimes to think you're living there when you've been hurt. But God says we're to love one another like Christ did. So that's what's really in our hearts to give. And we have to choose it. John 15:9-12 says, "As the Father loved me," this is Jesus Christ again, "I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy," whose joy?
My joy.
"The joy of Christ, that my joy remain in you, and that your joy may be full." So you know what? If we're not loving like Jesus Christ set the example to love, we're not living in that fullness of joy. That's why he spoke those things to them, so they would know how important that love is. "This is my commandment." Okay, you have request, and you have what? Okay, this is very plain. I think if you go to a lot of translations, you're going to see it's not a question of, it's a commandment to do. "This is my commandment, that you love" what? "As I have loved you." Now look, God loves us, he asks us to love him. Jesus Christ loves us, he asks us to love him. They don't even ask us to love just him, they ask us to love one another. Do you think this is a big deal? It is a huge deal. It really is. We can have so much comfort in each other's presence. We can minister so greatly to each other and to all men. But right now, I'm talking about this group I'm sitting with right here. To all men is certainly what we want to show. We want to manifest the love of God. Because isn't that what brings a man to repentance? The word says the love of God brings a man to repentance. Not telling them how wrong they are, but loving them in spite of where they're at or where they're not at. Romans chapter 12. We're going to see some characteristics of the love of God. Now, you want to see some really good characteristics of the love of God, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 someday and just sit down and read it. Shows you what it isn't, shows you what it is. It's very good. It's great. Just be ready to receive it. That's all I got to say. Let the love, okay, Romans 12, verse 9. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil." Look up some of these words. "Cling to that which is good." You might think you know what clinging means, but you might ought to look it up if you want to get a really good understanding of that word clinging. And it tells us to cling to what is good. "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, mark that. You want to know what to do to love somebody? There's you a good place to start. Be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Now, there are people in this world that I would not choose to be a part of. There are Satan worshipers in this world. I am not going to be a part of that. Now, if God opened a door that someone in that group wanted healing or wanted out, that's a whole different story. But there is a direction here from God to be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Preferring people who trust God, who believe in God. That's where you want to spend the majority of your time, to get built up and to be able to minister. I mean, when think about this. I remember when I got in the Word, one of the greatest things that happened to me was I got into the Word with a group of people that loved unconditionally. It didn't matter my past. It didn't matter what I looked like. It didn't matter where I went to work. It didn't matter if I had an education. It did not matter. They loved me with the love of God. And it changed my life. So you know what? I didn't want to hang out with anybody else but them, especially in the beginning, because of all the stuff they taught me and the things that they showed me from the Word and from their lives. They lived this. It wasn't just words on a piece of paper to them. And it wasn't good works. There's a difference between good works, doing good things for people, and God has those things out there for us. But this is an unconditional love that just, when the people that God put me with, I didn't realize how much my heart needed healing from some hurts I had been through. I thought I dealt with it. Thought I was over it. Went to the psychiatrist. You know, did the little trips of, okay, now, what'd your mama do? What'd your daddy do? Now, I had good parents. Wasn't that? But do you understand what I'm saying? I thought I dealt with it, and then real love came. Real love came. And it just, my heart just was filled with this great joy and understanding and relief. Relief because I finally started to understand how God could love somebody like me the way that He did. You know? Because the brothers and sisters in Christ that were in that area, that's how they loved me. I took the class just because I wanted to hang out with them. That's why I took it. I didn't take it because I like wanted this great knowledge. I'd already gone to church for 2.5 years trying to find a great knowledge and found like not much. So I went to a park, sat under a tree, and said, God, I can't do this. I can't go into the churches where the questions in my heart just, they're not, I don't, the answer that they give me isn't real. You are all love. You don't kill people. I can't keep doing this. So if it's okay with you, I'm just going to come to the park. I'm going to sit under this tree. And I'm just going to like hang out with you. Because I mean, I think you love me. I'm a pretty good person. This is true. This is what happened. And I said, so I hope that's okay with you. See you next week. Next week I did, went, talked to God, didn't hear anything, just talked. And I thought, man, people over there are going to think I'm crazy. The next week, a young man came to work where I worked. And he knew the truth of God's word. He had the love of God in his heart. And he began to witness to me and to spend time with me and to show me some things from the word. And I asked him a question one night that no other minister ever answered me correctly. This is what I would ask when I would get enough. I would say, okay, I have a question. I have a friend. Her husband and her just had a baby. 3 months later, this great man falls from a scaffolding on his work and he dies. How could that happen? How could God let that happen? This is the question I would ask. I got the same three answers. God works in mysterious ways. God does things sometimes to make us strong like that. Really. And you just don't question the things of God. In my heart, I had asked God that question. I can't tell you how many times. Those answers I knew were not true. I could not see a God who loves doing that. But I didn't understand it. I didn't have the answer. So this little guy, this little hippie guy, who went to a home fellowship, hair down to here, beard down to here. I'm like 6 years older than he is. I asked him that question one night. And he said, God had nothing to do with that. God is love, Vicki. God's arch enemy, Satan, he's the one who has the ability to kill. He has the authority right now. And that's who did that. You know, as soon as I heard the words, I knew it was the truth. But being who I am, I said, how do you know that? He said, it's in the Bible. I said, that's in the Bible? Like the King James Bible? I was like the lady, you know, who said, if it's good for Paul, it's good for me. No, it's like King James. He says, yeah. I said, can you show me that? Yes. That guy took, this took a period of 4 hours for all this stuff to happen. I won't tell you the rest of it beforehand, but he spent that whole time with me. Then we went back to my house, got my King James Bible, because I wasn't sure whether he had the same type of King James Bible. I tell you, that's how much I knew about the Word. And you know what? He opened up the Scriptures and he showed me where it says that Satan has the author, is the author of death. I went, whoa. Now, my question, I knew it was true. In my heart, I knew. I didn't understand it, but I knew it was true. So you know what? I wanted him to teach me. Anybody says there's this Bible class, he has to sit with all these people. And I was like, I don't know, God. And God's like, go. So I did it 47 years ago. Man, did it change my life. One brother in Christ took the time to spend 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours with me one evening. He even went to the laundromat with me so he could get to my heart with God's love. That's brotherly love. Wow, it was exciting, you know. Okay, let's move right along here. Let's go to Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness. Gentleness is something I have to work on still. I come across like a bull in a china closet sometimes. Gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another, and what? Love. Then that's that unconditional love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of what? Peace. Let's skip down to 4:32. Here's a great example of brotherly love. To anybody. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. But I don't feel like it. Okay, then you don't have to. No, that's not what it says, does it? It says forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave who? It is by grace we are saved. We could never have done anything good enough to be saved. It is grace. It is grace that God put into our lives, that poured out his love into our hearts and to others so that we can teach others about this great love. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Therefore, this verse just always gets me. Therefore, be imitators of who? as dear children, and walk in what? As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma, is what my one says. I know that the regular King James is sweet-smelling favor, but savor. Just take a few minutes, just take a couple of seconds here, you guys, and think about this verse. Of all the things that God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, of all the things that he is and does, he asks us very plainly to imitate what? His love. His love. He asks us to be imitators of his love, and he gives us the example to go and look at as Christ loved. He walked in love. Until the Spirit came upon him, he couldn't love that way. But once the Spirit was upon him, he loved with the love of God. When we get born again, we have that ability to love with the love of God. And God says to imitate that of all the things. And the reason he does is because it's the greatest thing we can do for one another. It's the greatest thing he's ever done for us. Because of love, he created the world. Because of love, he sent the Lord and Savior. Because of love, even dead in trespasses and sins, he showed us a way to him. Because of love. It's the greatest thing we can do. And really, when you think about it, it's fun. I mean, loving each other. I mean, you know, the songs Barney sang. I know they're silly little sing-along-the-way songs. But when you heard the song by Sal, that was, you know, if you listen to those words, every word, I've at least spoken once today in Sal's song about love, about brotherly love, about loving one another. Man, we have such a great gift to give to people. And I know next weekend we're going to be doing some outreach in the city here around San Diego, around this area. You know what? It's called Agape Outreach. Why? Because that's what we want people to see when we go out there. Some of these people have never heard about the word, and some of them are condemning themselves so deeply because they knew the word and they let it go. What do they need? Our love. They need our love. They need our love. And when they feel like we genuinely care about them, when they see that, their heart will open a little bit more and we can teach them a little bit more. We can show them how you don't have to condemn yourself. God still loves you no matter what. That's brotherly love. And we're to really have that among ourselves and cultivate among ourselves, not just the people in this room, but believers across the world. We should cultivate that with one another that we minister with on a regular basis, so that that is what people see when they see us walk out there. Right? Okay, well, good. I'm glad you agree. No, I mean, this is so, to me, this is such a huge, it's just a huge thing God's asked us to do. And what is so amazing to me is he's made it totally available for us to do it. And sometimes I just kick myself in the, you know, behind, because I don't always do this. I should, but I don't always. But man, when I realize I'm not doing that, I really try to get myself back to that spot where I know I need to be. He has no hands but our hands, right? I mean, we got to be telling people about this stuff. We got to live this. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. I just want you to, Barney's going to play another song, which I think would be really cool. And then we're going to have a meal, right? So we'll have to do some setup here and get things ready. And you'll see when you get to the table, there's a couple little things on there that I wanted to have put on the table. So each one of you take one. because they're for you to have. It's all about live. Live, 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 live. See, I even use my love paperclip. So, Barn, you want to play that song? Do you want to do an abundant sharing first or during? Let's do the abundant sharing
during.
There you go.
That'd be good. Then I think we're going to do a couple of things and we'll close
You need
up.
To do something? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so hold on.
I've been disappointed times through the years when I thought that I was loving, but I ended up in tears. Then I found that I was given to see what I could get. That's when I'd end up with nothing but a heart filled with regret. But now God's the giver, and He's given me His gift. So what can I do for you? Can I give you a lift? So many words are spoken, but which ones are the best? If I have any question, I just put them to the test.
Is it loving? Is it kind? Does it build you up?
Will it bring you peace of mind?
Is it wholesome? Is it true?
Does it minister God's grace to you? If sometimes you find your mind in a little old mess, listen to the way you say what you say, now watch what you confess. The word of God is truth, His words will bring you health. So say what's right in the day and night, even talking to yourself.
Is it loving? Is it kind? Does it build you up?
Will it bring you peace of mind?
Is it wholesome? Is it true?
Does it minister God's grace to you? Step away. All kinds of things can be said and done, but I want to do what's right. I know it's a dark and lonely world, and I want to shine more light. So,
is it loving? Is it kind? Does it build you up?